This episode of the Griffey Boys is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, or three Quick Feet inserts in your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on ice. Whether you're competing at the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to quickfeet.com now to unlock a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10 and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts.
What's up, ladies and gents? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Let me introduce you to my boys. We got Fireman Sam in the house.
Hey, now.
You got me, Anxious Anthony.
Which is my boys, singular. There's only singular, one of them. Yeah. There's only me, along with the host.
I mean, I did this introduction three times. We're not going to edit this time around. So okay, I'm not.
No, audience. The audience does not need to know your bloopers. Maybe one day we'll have a blooper reels, but not right now.
So there's no one else here tonight. They're here in spirit. So Joey, Zook, Chris, and Adri is here in spirit. So it makes sense when I say boys. But before we get this episode started.
Right. I get that. That's true.
Before we get this episode started, if you like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. If you want to subscribe to our channel and see our beautiful faces, you can follow us on YouTube as well. And also, this episode is sponsored by Quick Feet. Quick Feet offers the simplest, most effective way to customize your skates, ensuring you're perfectly positioned for every pivot and turn when making plays. Simply slide one, two, and three Quick Feet inserts in with your existing insoles, giving you more power and stability on the ice. Whether you're competing at the highest level, skating as a hobby, or guiding others as a coach, Quick Feet will provide the ultimate enhancement for anyone looking to maximize their performance. Head over to Quick Feet. That's Q-U-U-I-K-F-E-E-T. So quickfeet.com and unlock a 10% discount with the promo code CurfewBoys10 and skate into a new era of on-ice performance. Elevate your game with Quick Feet, where every stride counts. Once again, Quick Feet, quickfeet.com.
Yeah. I mean, last episode, we had one of the co-founders, Alex Sills, as a special guest.
What an amazing guy.
He's a great guy, and it's just cool to just to get someone who's played, you know, at a bit of a higher level than the rest of us, you know, and we're obviously a podcast based off like hardcore fans of the Montreal Canadiens, and just when you get someone that's played a bit at a higher level, junior level, someone that's, you know, had a bit of a, might have had a shot sometime in his life playing pro, you know, but you know, it's always cool to have someone and hear their perspective and their thoughts of the game. And it was a great guy, fantastic episode, and I found it so hilarious, and maybe meant to be, or maybe Alex manifested, but what he said, like, the guy he loves the most is Juraj Slafkovský, and then a game or two later, which we're gonna get to, Slafkovský delivers the performance that he did. Like, that was, I thought that was like, man, this fucking guy Alex manifested it. It was just so awesome.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, it was to all our listeners out there, listen to the last episode. I think it was episode 204.
That's it. We're episode 205 right now. So episode 204, crazy. Our last episode.
Yeah. So listen to 204 for a great insight and perspective on the, you know, like you said, Sammy, we're just fans here, you know, speaking about the Habs that we watch on TV. But this guy here, you know, he's been through, you know, he saw a different, he gave us a different perspective to what those young players, those rookies see on the other side of the doors, you know, like before the draft, how hard it is to get to that level, and how injuries could affect your career. And it's just crazy to hear.
And it's like we know these in theory. Like, you hear the stories,
hearing it from the actual person.
But, exactly. Like, hearing it from someone that's actually telling you about it, it's always pretty cool to see. And, you know, then he also had a bit of a career in college hockey at McGill. And then, you know, comparing Canadian college hockey versus NCAA and, you know, just development of these young guys from junior in the CHL versus junior in the NCAA. It's two different worlds. Even though it's hockey, it's two different worlds in the sense of the environment, the opponents you play against, the work that's being put in, whether it's schoolwork and then training or like just playing 60, the juniors, they play over 60, close to 70 games. You know what I mean? Like it's a different world. So yeah, he gave us a whole new perspective of basically the junior hockey world. And yeah, it's just awesome. And it's just hopefully that opens the gates for us to have more special guests that have played at that higher competition. Hopefully get players soon. You never know. But this podcast still keeps growing as
we keep getting more and more surprises
as the Canadians keep going. Yeah, absolutely. So,
hey, don't, you know what, Sam, funny to say, and we'll get right into the episode, because I have a question for you to ask. I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm so off tonight. But anyways,
that's okay.
it is. It's 10 o'clock. Wow, lost my question. Yeah, fuck.
You didn't write it down?
No, I know my question. I want to...
something about the juniors, junior hockey, the Canadians. Hockey itself.
We were just talking about. Anyways, forget it. Let's fast forward here and then
standings. Maybe the standings. Arizona Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City.
So much to talk about tonight. Let's get right into it. If I remember what I was about to say, I'll let you know. But
that's good.
Speaking of milestones, and like you said, Alex, you know, manifest about Slokowski. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. Episode 204 about, you know, surprises with the Montreal Canadiens. I just want to say one thing about our podcast. How, you know, I mean, I love doing this. We all do. And, you know, we all grew closer together, even though we were always close. But this podcast really got us all closer. But one thing about since we started this podcast back in 2020, this team has always been giving us stories after stories. It's never been a dull moment.
It's a fucking
started this podcast. Like day one, you know, we started because of, you know, curfew hours and the curfew schedule, the COVID schedule of the Montreal Canadiens and the NHL. And then that same year, we make the Stanley Cup Finals. Craziness. And then, you know, the first overall pick the year later, the year 2 years after. Like they're just since we started this podcast, it's been nothing but crazy stories.
Yeah.
And an incline from this team. Like, I think I want to, you know, give the Curvy Boys, I think we're the reason why the Montreal Canadiens are where they're at now. And the incline. As soon as we started it's all been good since.
You think it's all because of Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon, Marty St. Louis?
You think it's because Suzuki scoring 30 goals? Like, fuck that. It's the Curvy Boys. So. But that being said about, you know, milestones for this team, I mean, what a year we're having. Like I we've said this so many times, but I'm going to say this again. The best time to be a Habs fan is now. Like, this is it. You know, we're watching a team build properly, and it's just beautiful to see. And you know what? We're not making the playoffs this year, but I don't care. Look what we've seen so far. You know, all these milestones. Suzuki, you know, hitting 30 goals, his career high. You know, Caulfield tonight hitting 25 goals. Beautiful. Would have been nice to see 230 goal scores, but hey, you never know. It could happen. You know, Matheson, defenseman, hitting 60 points after tonight's game. We haven't seen 60 points since, I think, PK Subban.
On defense, and I'll throw an interesting stat for you. The last time we had three players who had 60 points or more was in 2014-2015 season, the same season where Carey Price actually won the Hart, the Vezina, because he had 44 wins in 66 games. That year, we had Max Max Pacioretty, who finished the season with 67 points. Out of those 67 points, 37 were goals. He was the top player of the team. Second place was Thomas Plekanec with 60 points, 26 goals. So it seems a little bit similar to what Suzuki and Caulfield are doing, but maybe it's just better. And then you had PK Subban with 60 points as well in 82 games with 15 goals. So, yeah, that you're talking about almost 10 years ago. 10 years ago, that was the last time we had three players with 60 points plus. You know, you right now as we speak, I think you have Suzuki at 76 points with the assists with the Islanders. Caulfield got 2 points tonight against the Islanders, goal number 25. So he's at 0.62. Matheson with an assist. So he's at 60 points right now, all within now 79 games.
Slokowski is one goal away to hit 20. Like, for a rookie?
He's one goal away from 20. He's 2 points away from 50. Yeah, it's... You know what I mean?
It's just beautiful to see.
Like, before we talk about Slokowski, I actually have a question for you, Anta.
But ask yours.
Okay. Out of all the milestones that we're talking about and we're hoping to see, which one would make you the most happy? Or the happiest. My English is messed up tonight.
We're so off tonight. Look, I would love to see Suzuki hitting 80. It'd be amazing to see, because we haven't seen an 80-point player since, I think, Kovalev.
Kovalev with 84, yeah.
But what would surprise me the most would, like, so to answer your question, yes, Suzuki hitting 80. Mm-hmm. But Caulfield hitting 30, which I know is a reach. It'll be crazy to see.
5 goals in 3 games. I mean, look, the type of goal scorer that he is, he could. It's just the type of season he's having. I'm not so sure if I were a betting man, I wouldn't be so sure.
I wouldn't either.
But at the same time, you never know. You never know with Caulfield.
You just need a hat trick game and 2 points after that. And I want to ask you the same question, but like the reason why I think what surprises me the most in all this is that last year Caulfield was having the season that Suzuki is having, and then that injury hit. Because last year Caulfield was on the roll of hitting 80 points.
Yeah, he was probably on the verge of hitting 40 goals. Yeah, because he had last year. What did he have? He had
26 in January.
He had 26 goals, and then he had the operation. He had 26 goals. Yeah, 26 goals in 46 games, and he had 36 points in 46 games. So absolutely,
he was on that right track, and it just I don't know what happened this year where everything got reversed. And to be on a line like Suzuki and Kofi and Slokowski, and not hitting those numbers, it boggles my mind. I want to know.
You know what though? But in terms of the goal scoring aspect of Caulfield, I'm not gonna go as far as saying it was a disappointment, but he didn't meet our expectations, because I really thought he was gonna hit 30, 35 this year. But him as an overall player this year, he's actually, if you think about it, he's kind of better than what he was last year. Last year, it was great scoring 26 goals, but his defensive game was, it wasn't the greatest. This year, he became a completely different player. And we could praise Suzuki all we want about reaching over 30 goals, and rightfully so, absolutely. A lot of those goals, the reason why he has those goals is because of Caulfield's play. We can't really forget about that. A lot of the reason why Suzuki has all those goals is because of Caulfield. Throw in a Juraj Slafkovský over there too. You know what? You could probably argue too, why is Slafkovský having a very good season? It's because of Nick Suzuki for sure as a centerman. It's also because of Cole Caulfield. Like, the three of them just have amazing chemistry together.
Yeah.
So as much as we all want to see Cole Caulfield score 30 goals, 40 goals, man, God forbid, even 50 goals since Stéphane Trichet. But for the amount he's getting paid, even if he doesn't score those goals, but he's second on the team with over 60 points.
Oh, like, I'll take that. I'll take that any day. I'll take that any
day. I think so. I think so.
Just going from what we saw last year to this year, point-wise. But then again, we always forget, right? Like, us fans, we always focus on, you know, who the most points makes you the best player. That's false. It's a false statement. And they actually brought that up today's episode on 690. You know, scoring a hat trick doesn't make you a superstar, or, you know, putting up all these points doesn't necessarily make you a superstar. It's also your gameplay. And,
yeah,
you know, like, as much as we all shout on Drouin in the past, the guy was a good playmaker. He wasn't putting up points, but he, if you like, again, a lot of us fans, and, you know, I'll be guilty about that. Mm-hmm. In the past, but not anymore because of this podcast, and I watched the game a bit more in detail. But a normal regular fan, I'm not here to insult anybody, but when you watch the game, you're just watching, and the goals and the assists and the points at the end of the game is what these fans only notice. Mm-hmm. They don't notice the little things. And you go back to Drouin, even though he wasn't putting up the points, he was a good player. You know, he was making a lot of plays.
He always had the hockey sense, for sure.
He always had the hockey sense that no one really looked at because people just look at points. At the end of the day, it's not only points. So to say what you – just to follow through what you said, Caulfield, I'll take this over him scoring 50 goals because he played a really fantastic season. But I'm going to throw the question right back at you.
But I'm so happy you mentioned Drouin because I have something I've been thinking about wanting to say on this podcast for quite a bit now. Ask me the question, and then I'll get back to Drouin. There's something I want to say about him.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same question. What milestone are you excited for?
Oh, milestone? See? I really want to see... I just want to see Slafkovský hit 20. If he could hit 20 goals and 50 points, to me, I already consider Slafkovský's season a success in terms of progression. But 50 points and 20 goals, I think he would have, if he gets it, he's going to exceed my expectations. I was happy with if he would have had either 14 goals or 16 goals, like the medium would have been 15, I would have been happy. The fact that he's almost at 20 is even better for just the way, not the way this fan base treated him, like the half of the fan base supported the pick, but I think it's safe to say a lot of us, we weren't sure. And it's the story of Slafkovský this season is that the way he started, we all weren't sure about him just yet. And then you hear the stories about, you know, Marty vouching for him to stay. Now you find out Kevin Bieksa revealed on Hockey Night in Canada saying even Suzuki went up to Marty and said, "Hey, put Slaf on our line." Okay. And then, listen, Slafkovský delivers that performance, a hat trick. You knew it was coming. Like you just felt it for some reason. It was, and the funniest thing is, like, he scored his first career hat trick against Philadelphia, who has Ryan Poehling, and Ryan Poehling
scored two goals.
Scored, no? his only hat trick was when he was with the Canadiens. So I just thought it was, like, so not ironic, but a bit like coincidental or something. But the thing about Slafkovský is, if we all go back to that famous video of Nick Bobrov on YouTube when the Canadiens released the behind the scenes of who they were going to select at the draft, Nick Bobrov, the way he explained Slafkovský's progression, saying how, like, at the age of 14, he moved out of his parents, moved to, I think it was in Finland, lived on his own, had to learn to live on his own, how to be independent, play hockey with older kids, and then eventually men, you know, as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old. And then Bobrov explaining how, like, he starts on the fourth line, and then as the season goes and as the games matter more, his game also elevates, and he, you know, he goes to the third line, the second line, the fourth line. What he did at the Olympics, the same thing, started the fourth line. But then as they kept getting closer to, you know, those the at least the bronze medal game, you know, he was up to the first line. He led the whole Olympics in scoring as a 17, 18-year-old playing amongst men. the same thing at the World Championship. So you hear Bobrov explaining how he gets better. After the game, you hear Marty explaining how, like, well, we had to give him a bit at a time. Then we started with him on the power play just to see. He was earning those reps. He was earning those touches. He looked good at those touches. Okay, now we give him a bit more. Then he explains how it's like, then the reason why he got there is because his defensive game just got so much better. It's like, okay, now we could throw a bit more at him. Boom, we give him the first line with Suzuki Caulfield. And the rest of, at least of this season, the rest is history.
Well, now you can, you know, you have something to fall back on with, what's the word I'm looking for? So, for example, let's go back to Paley. You know, first game in his career, scores a hat trick. Everybody's like, oh my God, that's amazing. This guy's going to be a superstar. And then what happened? Nothing.
He set the bar too high for himself
and
as a player.
Not necessarily a hat trick game one is going to make you that superstar. Whereas Slavkovsky, you know, got himself to where he is now. And we have enough evidence to say that this guy is it. You know, you can't say that about Paling on game one when he scored that hat trick. Oh, he's it. No, it was one game. And that's all it was to fall on is, oh, he only has, you know, three goals. And then after that, nothing. He never proved himself after that game. Whereas now, Slavkovsky, you can say now, at the end of this season, this guy made it. This is it. He's the real deal. He's an all-around player. He has the size, which we've all been saying since he got drafted with the Montreal Canadiens. If this guy can use his body, he's going to be a dangerous player.
You see him park in front of the net tonight against the Islanders. Harris scores, and it's the same thing against Philly.
We were always getting mad at the beginning when we were watching him. The guy had no confidence. He was not using his size. The guy was a tall beast, playing like a little
Bambi on the. He played like
exactly
Bambi on the ice
because he didn't have the confidence to use his body, and now he's using it. His defensive style, fucking, you know, skyrocketed, improved. So now you have a guy who's scoring goals, a guy using his body, a guy who's very good defensively. He's an all-around player, and he's dangerous. And now you have a whole season and an incline from when he started till now to finally say, this guy is it. And I'm just so excited to see what next year brings and the year later, because the guy's only 20 years old.
He's only 20. He might not have had the confidence. He wasn't built strong yet within his frame, like at the age of 18. Now 19, 20, again, he's got to put in the work. Like, no matter what, yes, he's it, but he's got to have the same work ethic, and he's got to even push it a bit more now. He's going to get stronger, if he has that same attitude that he has now as he gets older and stronger and mature, and he's going to be a fucking force to reckon with. And that's why they drafted him first overall. Yep. That's why they drafted him. They just picked him because of the long-term progression that this guy can take. You know, listen, I like Logan Cooley as a player, and I'll say this. I like Shane Wright too. Shane Wright's actually doing well with Seattle since he's been called up. He's got like three goals in
four games.
Like, yeah. Shane Wright's going to be an excellent player.
But an excellent offensive player, where you have now an all-around player who can do everything.
Well, I think...
And the size.
But that's it. It's like we were so weak on the wing too. Like, on the left side, we were fucking weak. And they said it. If we could draft this kid, because he has the size and the potential that he has to be a fucking great player, because we draft someone of that size and that skill, it's going to save us a headache of having to draft somebody that's big, but we're just drafting him because he's big.
Yep.
Like, that's one of the many reasons why. And, I'm just so happy. The thing that makes me happy the most is like the ones that called him a bust, and it's like you don't hear them anymore. Like, they completely shut the fuck up.
This fan base does not have patience. And, you know, look, Jack Hughes, if we was in our team, everybody would have shot on him for 4 years before. Oh, and God. Look at him now. You know what I mean? But
well, it's funny how Slafkovský is like, his numbers are comparable. And like, don't get me wrong, Jack Hughes is fucking elite, and him too. It just took a bit of time and maturity. But and you know what? It could be
that elite player because again, he has the size, the defensive mindset, the offense. He has it all. But I just want to say one thing before like the fans jump on me, and especially Joey, that I jinxed it, that he's it. Let me rephrase that sentence, okay? What I mean by he's it, maybe I said it wrong, but like, he still has a lot to prove. But what I'm trying to say is that you can't say this was just a lucky season.
No. I don't.
That's what anybody, I mean by
if anybody saying, thinks this is a lucky season, I don't buy that bullshit whatsoever. I don't think so. But
no, it's not. Yeah. There's a lot of evidence to show that it's not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not lucky. So what I'm trying to say is that he's it, meaning this is the player he could be and better. Now, if he just decides to drop the ball and say fuck it and not play, that's on him after. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing is everybody in the NHL world sees what he's capable of doing, mm-hmm. and better. Now it's up to him to keep that consistency going and the attitude to keep going. Whereas feeling at the beginning was, oh my God, he set that bar high, and then he just went Paling. That's what I mean.
Yeah, but Paling is a 25th overall pick. You're comparing a 25th overall versus a first overall.
No, but when you started the season off the way he started, everybody's like, oh my God, this guy's an elite player, but then he wasn't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but also, it's funny. Ryan Paling, do you remember it came down to Ryan Paling and Nick Suzuki? Then Ryan Paling in the preseason got hit in the head against Florida in the preseason, got a concussion, got hurt, and then Nick Suzuki took his spot.
Yeah.
Crazy. Can you imagine, like, it's crazy to think that Ryan Paling almost made Nick Suzuki go down to the minors. That's a fucked up, crazy thought. And because Paling, that training camp looked great. I think that concussion messed him up. Yeah. But the whole point of going back to Anthony saying like he's it, he is it. He's the player they drafted first overall for the reasons that we're seeing. I don't think this is luck. I think this is merited. It's well deserved for this season. Now next season,
you just gotta keep. He's gotta raise that bar even higher than what it is now.
Absolutely. I want to go back to the Jonathan Drouin thing. Yeah. I'm gonna say this, okay? Jonathan Drouin, because he's having the best. He's having the best season of his whole NHL career, and it helps when you're playing with
McKinnon
and Rantanen and Makar and even Arturi Lehkonen. Jesus Christ, it absolutely helps. Jonathan Drouin was brought to the Montreal Canadiens to be the best player on the team, and that's, among other things, what I personally believe is what fucked him up.
Yeah,
I think that's what fucked him up. Jonathan Drouin to the Colorado Avalanche is the equivalent of Phil Kessel going to the Pittsburgh Penguins. If all of you remember when Phil Kessel was traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs, he was traded there and expected to be their number one forward. He was brought there to be their best player, and he couldn't live up to that expectation and the pressure. He gets traded to Pittsburgh, where he's behind Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. You could probably say he's the number three on the team. You could even argue he was the number four on the team with Jake Guentzel. He had the perfect role of number three, number four forward, put up the goals, put up the points when he had to, won back-to-back Stanley Cups. I think Jonathan Drouin and the Colorado Avalanche this year, if they have a strong playoffs, I think they could win it. Jonathan Drouin was brought to the Colorado Avalanche not to be the number one, not to be the number two. If Landeskog was there, he wasn't going to be the number three. He's the number three or number four between him, Arturi Lehkonen. You know what I mean? Like, he's wasn't brought to Colorado to be the best player, and look at him now. He's shining in Colorado.
You couldn't have said it any better. We just screwed up. This fan base and this media screwed him up. You know, the guy, again, not to talk politics, but he had the French background and the elite status with Tampa, or whatever, not the elite status, but
he was a third overall pick for a reason.
Yeah. So they brought him here And the media made it seem like this guy's going to be your French superstar.
Oh, the savior.
The savior of the Montreal Canadiens.
They brought him here as the number one centerman.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense when we look back now.
And now if you look back, and even as a player coming into the city, already we have a hard time playing in the city with the media and the fan base. Add that to a young guy saying you're coming to the city, you're going to have the spotlight, you're the name of this franchise. They wanted him, the name of this franchise, the Jonathan Drouin.
They wanted him
on the fucking chest.
They wanted him to play with Max Pacioretty on the top line.
And that screws up a player. And you're right. You know, you put him on a team that he's going to be like, again, a non-important factor, right? Because you have McKinnon and all these guys. Like you said, you know, Kessel with Crosby, Malkin, and all these guys, you're putting him in a talented player in a team that doesn't need you.
But that's what
makes you shine because now you're looking up to these players and you want to get to that level. And that's what Drouin did because Drouin was never a bad player. He was just put in the wrong team.
Yeah, he was put in the wrong spot, wrong position, wrong team, maybe the wrong environment too. I mean, he did he had a lot of support, but it was just I think the French media put a lot of pressure on him to be that French superstar. You could argue the fan base too. You know, because he did have the talent, and you know he did care. Sometimes it didn't show on the ice. I think he did care. He also had other issues. He had personal issues too that was made obvious. And you know, he came out and said it and all that stuff. But look, all that to say is like, man, he's a potential Stanley Cup winner this year with Colorado. I'm telling you all now, like
Did he win last year with them?
Well, no, he was with the Canadiens last year.
Oh my God, I'm so lost with time.
It's his first year with Colorado. He might. I'm just saying, like, there's a very good chance he could win it. Colorado is fucking strong this year. I love Colorado. They're such a good team. McKinnon is on fire, 50 goals, and maybe one day we'll have a 50 goal scorer. But for now, we'll settle. Listen, we'll settle with what we got for now. Suzuki over 30. If Caulfield hits over 26, if he breaks his milestone, I want the milestone of Slafkovský too. I'm happy with Matheson. Like, even Matheson, like, gets criticized a little bit because of his play and sometimes he makes mistakes, but fuck, 60 points. The last time 60 points on the Canadiens from a defensive was PK Subban, and PK Subban was the most loved player on this team for a while, like after Carey Price. I'm sorry, Mike Matheson deserves a lot of fucking praise from everyone in this fan base. He's not perfect. Even sometimes I wonder if he's really a quarterback on the power play. But on the overall, Mike Matheson, as the number one defenseman on this team, he was excellent. And he was nothing less than that.
Yeah. And I'm just overall happy of what I've seen this season. I go back to episode one of this season. I said it. I'm like, I don't care about playoffs. I just care about every individual on this team setting that bar a little higher than what we all want. And they all met those expectations and more. Yeah. Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, Matheson, all these guys. So I did not even expect anything what I've seen this year.
You know, you know who we have to give credit to a little bit as well? I want to praise Alex Newhook.
I really
like Alex Newhook. I mean, look, man, he missed. He had what, 8 weeks because of his injury? He missed 8 weeks. 31 points in 51 games is very good.
Yeah.
It's very good for Alex Newhook in his third, fourth season in the NHL. Like, he
still has a lot to prove. And, you know,
but see, where I'm going to get is that, like, I think what this fan base should be very happy about, and chances are they are, is that we have a first line now. We have a top line. And I'm going to repeat this again in future episodes when we review the entire season with the rest of the guys. But still, this is why I'm so upset that Kirby Dach had the season-ending injury that he did.
You know, it would have been a whole different season this year.
But because who knows? But see, because we see the progression of Suzuki as the number one centerman, we see the progression of Slafkovský, Caulfield as an overall player, we needed to see the next step that Kirby Dawk could have brought after last season. And last season was a bit of a rough season, injuries, coming back, getting injured, coming back. I really wanted to see Kirby Dawk this year. So all that to say is that now that we know we have a top line, next season, we really got to see what Kirby Dawk could do as a second line center. And I hope they put Alex Newhook with him. I really do.
Maybe that's your second line.
I think that's, and you know what? Call me crazy. Josh Anderson, we don't have to talk about him specifically in the season yet. We're going to talk about him in future episodes. But I want to see Josh Anderson play at least a season with Kirby Dawk just to see if they could kind of, if we could give him a bit of a bounce back, a player that he could play with, a big player that could.
Well, he was having a great offseason. I mean, the exhibition.
The preseason.
Preseason, sorry.
Doc and Anderson looked good.
Killing it.
Doc Newhook and Slafkovský looked good together, too. Yeah. So
I think everything happens for a reason. I think the Doc injury, you know, made us find the number one line, like Slafkovský.
That's a good way of looking
Outfield,
at it.
And, yeah, because, I mean, if Doc was there, maybe Slafkovský would have been on the second line, and we would have never witnessed this. But, again, you don't know. But I think... I mean, look, that number one line, and I know we keep repeating ourselves, but they're a threat to the league. We are one of the best. That's one of the best lines of the league right now. If you look at all the stats, we're on the top there. So I'm excited to see Doc next year and continue what he showed us in the preseason. Hopefully, I know we all said he was injury prone, and it sucks that it happened right away. But speaking of milestones and of us being excited about all these crazy milestones this year, there's a question I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. Now, the answer could be looked at two ways, right? So the question is this. Knowing that you have players that are about to reach these amazing milestones. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it depends where you are this season. But you as a coach, let's say, you are a coach. Would you rest these players knowing that they have a milestone to reach?
I don't think Marty, if I were to try to put myself in Marty's shoes or in Marty's head, no, I don't think so.
The Philly game, if you look at Suzuki, he rested him majority of the game. He doesn't have any minutes in that game.
Yeah, because when you're up like 8-1, it's like,
okay, I know, but why, if you have
why,
a player,
why
but,
do you yeah, why but, like you don't need your top players to perform. By that point, Slafkovský has his hat trick. And guys like my God, Armia was scoring goals, Gallagher scored two goals, Dvorak just came back.
But a game like I would have put Suzuki more time to try to hit that 80, right?
Yeah, but then at the other side of the coin is you're facing a Philadelphia Flyers who are fighting for a final wild card spot, or even the spot within the Metropolitan. They're getting their asses whipped. They could get angry, emotional. Maybe they take you risk them taking a cheap shot at Slafkovský, a kid that just scored a hat trick on you, is just basically humiliating you. At that point, it's like you see your top line was dominating up until the third period. Like you don't really need to give all those minutes to your top guys. Like the game is won, so give opportunities to your third line, your fourth line, and to your second line too, right?
It's just that I see it as, and I get it, and I agree with you, because you have assets and you want these players to be healthy for next season, and already you have a player who just hit 30 goals, and you don't want to risk an injury right at the end of the season for mm-hmm. stupidity. But at the same time,
like look what happened to Arber Jacki, for example. That stupidity going on with Tampa Bay. He wanted to get in the fight. Is that the reason why he's getting a left shoulder? I think it's his left shoulder injury, or at least it's the opposite shoulder from the one he had surgery last year. Is it because of that? Maybe it aggravated even more. But you know what I mean? Like, if that shit doesn't go down, maybe Arber Jacki still plays. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he gets the operation anyway. Look what happened to, like Caden Gooley. You know what I mean? Like, So the way I see it is like, especially your future core players that are coming back and you want them to progress next year and then the year after and the year after that, like you kind of want, I for me as a coach, like you would want to end them on a high note as best as possible or as much as possible. Like that they go in the off season, they take a good break, go enjoy somewhere, go play golf, get your mind off of hockey a little bit, train hard in the off season. You know, do all the training you can on ice, off ice. The way you ended your season, you ended on a high note. Let's start on a high note. Sure. Now you're going to get better. You're at least projected to get better. Let's go from there. So I mean, there's many ways to look at it. And around this time, if the Canadians were making the playoffs, like within the last two games of the season, yeah, you rest them.
Yeah, but look at Toronto right now, Matthews. So the question comes from Matthews, right? In Toronto, you have what, 4 games left? They are making the playoffs, but you have a player who will potentially hit 70 goals. Yeah. We haven't seen 70 goals in
since Timo. Well, at least Timo Solani. When's the last? I think Timo Solani did it.
So it's like
I don't know if Ovechkin did it. Keep talking, but I'm going to double check to see if Ovechkin did it.
Last 70 goal scorer.
But I see what you're saying. Like if the Maple Leafs aren't resting Matthews, yeah, you want Matthews to reach that.
Solani in 93 and Gretzky in 85. So you have, you know, someone like Matthews who is about to hit that milestone. But then you're at a point. So that's where the question is built here, is coming from, right? Mm-hmm. You have a Habs team who's not making the playoffs, and you can just let these kids play and have fun and just shoot this, like, just go all out until the season ending. But then you're risking a potential injury for next season. But then you also have a Toronto Maple Leaf team who needs to rest their players because they're going to be in the playoffs next week. But yet you're keeping him on the ice to risk that injury just to get that milestone. So it's like everybody has different, you know, views of this. But I would not want to bench.
That's making history, though. You know what I mean? Like exactly. especially, but also
you're risking potential. You know, like,
well, don't be surprised if Toronto benches either like Tavares or Nylander. You know what I mean? Maybe Marner, but Marner's been injured and he's. He just got back from his injury, but don't be surprised if they bench like one of their top two forwards. But I don't see them benching Matthews just because they're gonna try to get him to get the 70 goals.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We're in two. It's two different situations, right? So within the Canadians,
yeah, but like, I would rather. I would. I mean, okay, yes, because it's making history. But logically, I would bench Matthews over Suzuki in these scenarios because you have Matthews who's going to playoffs. Suzuki's gonna go play golf next week. Mm-hmm. So it's like. You know what I mean? But then again, every coach is different. And
well, it could be high risk, high reward type of deal, too, especially with Matthews. So, but yeah, speaking of Arbor Jack, look, another shoulder surgery needed and kind of sucks. But at the same time, too, like I prefer it happens now than middle of the season like last year and that he was done. So, you know what? Like as Arbor Jack season came. Has now come to an end. Him too, I'm happy with his progression. And he needed to go down to Laval. He needed that. He needed to go there, be humbled a little bit, find his game again, come back. And ever since he got back from Laval, like, you know, there was that whole debate, though, Marty benches him here and there. It's like, there's a reason why. And then after he had a couple of solid games, once he was back, like Marty kept him in the lineup. And Arbor Jacka is going to be another essential piece of this rebuild. He's going to be another essential piece. Like you keep a guy like that in your lineup, you know. Ryan Reeves is brave all of a sudden because Jacka isn't playing. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Ryan Reeves, yes, Ryan Reeves beat the shit out of Pezzetta. He always has. Pezzetta, we all love Pezzetta. Pezzetta can't fight against a guy like Reeves. But it's funny how Reeves drops the gloves and is all brave against a guy he knows he can beat when Jacka isn't in the lineup. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break. But as one Jack Eye is out, another Jack Eye comes in. His younger brother, Florian Jack Eye, signs his entry-level contract. And
is he the same style as his brother? Or
well, it's forward, but like apparently they're both like they have a couple of loose screws in the brain where it's like they just snap it. Like apparently they fought a lot as kids. So he's another one that could drop the gloves. I'm just saying, like so Arbor Jacki is the sheriff. Now some are saying Florin Jacki is the deputy. So that could be
a cool duel for our team.
Be like, well, when's the last time we had the brother combo on the Canadians? Was it the Kostitsyn brothers?
Yeah.
I think that's the last time.
I don't think any time after that.
I'm trying to remember. The only brothers I can think of are the Kostitsyn
brothers. I don't know if there was any brothers before after that, or even after.
Well, I mean, before you had the Mahovlich brothers, the Richard brothers. Like in our time, right? Okay,
in our time, Kostitsyn brothers is the only time that I can remember. But that would be cool. Like, and if they both have those little screws, then we can have them.
Well,
from the Mighty Ducks, what's their names? Oh fuck,
the Bash Brothers.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, with the Bash Brothers, I love the reel that we posted on Instagram with the Bash Brothers, Jacki and Slafkovský, the hit that they did. But yeah, they could be the Bash Brothers too. And after Florian Jacki's team, not the Hamilton Bulldogs, but the Brantford Bulldogs, they got eliminated. So there was a bit of a wonder if the Canadians were going to sign him to an entry-level contract or if he was going to get just a pro contract to the Laval Rocket, and he got both. He got an entry-level deal that starts next year, but look, like in the OHL, at the age of 19, 34 goals in 63 games, he got 65 points in 63 games. I don't expect Florin Jacki to be a top six forward. I think he's going to be a bottom six forward, maybe a top nine at best. I wouldn't mind seeing him on a fourth line. I think he could be a good fourth line grinder. And if he could be like that Swiss Army knife, like a bit like a Raphael Harvey Pinard, where you could use him if there's an injury up the lineup, he might be that player. But not to get ahead of ourselves, like he's with the Laval Rocket now, and the Laval Rocket just lost another fucking game. And
so playoffs is done for them.
It's not done, but like they need the Belleville Senators, the Ottawa Senators farm team. They need them to lose. They have four games left. They need to lose the next two, and then the final two games of the season they play against each other. Laval plays against Belleville, and like if
a lot of factors.
Oh my god! Like I hate when you're in a situation like, well, we might have hope if this team loses and that team loses. It's like, I hate that. Like, win the fucking games when you have to. So, but at the end of the day, it's like, man, with the Laval Rockets, they're all kinds of rookies on that team, and they just don't have that experience. I'm sure they're tired with these fucking three game weekends that they had, like almost every other second weekend. It's tough, man. They had a tough schedule, Laval. So I just think they're tired. I think they're tired. I think Dobesh, great season, the goalie. I think he's tired too. And it's just the way it is.
And that's with these young players, right?
Exactly.
And you saw that with this team, with the Habs last year. You know, the lack of consistency was because of lack of experience and them being very tired. You know, they're not used to the NHL level with the traveling. And so I could just imagine the Rockets.
82 game schedule, man. Like
82 game schedule.
Dude, the Rockets, man. There's a video of them on the bus. Like the guy's filming on the bus, like day in the life of the Laval Rocket player. They're sleeping on a bus, dude. And it's like, they have their torsos on one side of the chairs, and they're trying to stretch their legs on the other chair in the middle of like the corridor. It's like, dude, man, it's not private jets and five-star hotels, you know, five-star meals they had. It's different. It's completely different. I'm sure they're happy playing professional hockey. Yeah, I'm sure they love it, but
it takes a toll on you.
The quality of life isn't the same, man. And it does take a toll on you. It takes a toll on your body. I could only imagine, and the mind too. But listen, that it comes with the territory. If you want to be a pro, it's part of the game. Exactly. No pun intended. If you want to be a pro hockey player, you got to endure that. Then one prospect though, Montreal Canadiens are keeping an eye on now. It's official. The Lane Hudson watch has officially begun.
Can they sign him and play him for the last game?
They could sign him right now. If Kent Hughes wants. So
the last three games of the season.
So Boston University is now got eliminated, the Frozen Four versus Denver. And I even got to check now. And now you have Boston College, Jacob Fowler and his boys playing against Michigan. And the winner of that plays Denver on Saturday. And Kent Hughes was there. Kent Hughes was there in Minnesota watching the game. Because don't forget, Kent Hughes' son played with Lane Hutson. But a lot of people are suspecting that, like, he's not only there to watch his son, but also to watch the Frozen Four. But now that Lane Hutson is eliminated, there's major, major, major speculations that he's going to sign. He could sign tomorrow. He could sign, like, tomorrow as a Friday. He could sign on Saturday. If he signs tomorrow, I don't know. If he signs tomorrow, tomorrow's Friday. If he signs Friday, I don't know if he's going to play Saturday against the Ottawa Senators. But I think he'll play against Detroit. And it's going to be the two final back-to-back games, the two home series. And I think it's going to be a great test for the kid. Because Detroit is literally... Detroit is playing for their playoff lives. Check to see if you can get tickets. I think Chris got tickets. I think he's taking clients over there. So we might be seeing Lane Hutson make his Montreal Canadiens debut. And again, not to get too much to Lane Hutson. We're gonna come to a close of this episode. We're definitely gonna talk about this in future episodes with the rest of the guys. I wouldn't mind seeing Lane Hutson playing Laval next year with David Reinbacher.
You don't think Lane Hutson has a chance to make the lineup next year?
I think he does. I just think I'm going to end this episode on the Anthony scenarios. It all depends if they trade like Jordan Harris, if they trade Justin Barron. No, not Justin Barron, excuse me. Well, yeah, it all depends what happens on the left. There's too many guys on the left. You have to deal with Matheson, maybe Caden Gooley if they put him back on the right. Who knows? You have to deal with Arbor Jacki. You have to deal with Jaden Schrubel. If Jordan Harris is still on the team, like, that's a lot of guys to come up against. And as much as Lane Hutson has talent, he has offensive talent. I don't know yet. I'm questioning. I'm not saying he's not NHL ready, but I wonder if just a season in Laval playing a little bit with David Reinbacher would be better for him. Because I don't even think next year is fight. I think it's a fight, try our best to fight for a playoff spot. But I also think if we don't, it's okay if the Canadiens don't make the playoffs because it's still part of the plan. It's going to be the year after that. That's like, now we have all the fucking pieces put together.
Yeah.
The younger kids, the younger players that now have 3-4 years experience with them on them. Now the year after that is going to be the real, now we're going to see who this team can be and what they're made of. And it's an exciting time now.
This is the best time to be a Habs fan. Like, again, I think next, and we'll get into this more in like last episode of this season, you know, talk about the future of the Habs. But I think next year will be like the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, like that team who's trying to make the playoffs. I think
that's a good comparison.
The wild card. Like, next year is the wild card fight. Year after that, it's the playoff fight.
Yeah,
year after that we're contending.
I think that's a fair assumption.
This team does not want to lose. Guys, see it now. We need to lose all these games to be bottom five. And you go destroy Philly 9-3. And who needs to make the play? So I was even saying this. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone. I'm like, the next couple of games, I mean, we're going to lose because we're playing teams that need these points to make the playoffs, right? You have Philly who's trying to make the playoffs, Islanders trying to make the playoffs, and you have Detroit who's trying to make the playoffs. So these are the games that we're going to lose. No, you go fucking destroy Philly 9-3. Tonight, you go to overtime with Islanders to get that stupid point that's not needed. You know what I mean? And
they play well against New York, the Rangers. What?
We're going to lose against Ottawa, the team that we don't need to care about. You know, we're going to lose against Ottawa. But then Detroit, we're going to beat. Like, this team does just not want to lose. And that's why I think next year is going to be the year we're going to fight for the wild card.
Yeah, but the game on Saturday against Ottawa, that's like the battle for, like,
bottom five.
That's a battle for, like, a good pick game. So, but look, all that to say is the Canadiens right now are at 28th spot. They're tied with Arizona, but Arizona has 4 more wins than us. Same amount of games. And Ottawa, with their victory against Tampa Bay in shootout tonight, they have 74 points. They're 1 point ahead of us. So we're clear.
We're bottom five right now.
We're at number five right now. We're at bottom five. The most points we could get, they have 3 games remaining, 3-6. The most points they could get is 79. And
we would have lost
Seattle has 7 nights. So we're going to stay between 5 and 8. We're going to stay between bottom 5 and bottom 8.
Just fucking lose.
Just fucking lose.
If we would have lost against Philly, would have been at 71 now. It would have been a lot, more comfortable spot.
If we would have lost against the Florida Panthers, if we wouldn't have gone to overtime against Tampa Bay, if we would have, there's so many games where like we shouldn't have won and they won. And it's like, but wait a minute, as much as you hate this because it fucks up the tank or those that are pro tank, it's like, but wait a minute, but like this is the progression you want to see I'm on the fence too.
Because I'm happy they're winning because it's like you said, you're watching this team get to where we want next year, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you want that. This is the last season, I think, is the tank season. Like after this, it's just going upward. Like starting next season, it's we either make playoffs or don't make it by 2 points. Mm-hmm. And then the year later, it's going to be like that for a while. This is the last like bottom five season, in my opinion.
I think so. Or at least bottom. I thought they were going to be bottom 10. I didn't think they're bottom five or let alone bottom 7, 8. I thought they would be bottom 10. They could be that next year. They might be even bottom like 12, 13, 14, maybe. Could be. Because it's going to be close, I think.
Before we end this episode, I'm just freaking excited for the playoffs this year because
it's gonna be great.
There's a lot of great teams as we've been talking about in the past episodes, but look at the fight for wild cards.
It's insane. Like,
it's insane how close it is. You have one spot left with 4 teams fighting it, and these 4 teams are just tied at 85. Except Pittsburgh at 86.
Sidney Crosby, 1,000 career assists. Sidney Crosby's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's the GOAT of our generation, and there's no debate. I love Alexander Ovechkin. If Alexander Ovechkin didn't have 2 NHL lockouts, he would have beaten Gretzky's record, I'm convinced, and he still actually might beat Gretzky's record. But Sidney Crosby is the GOAT of our generation. Yeah. Point final. And it's insane. And this is why the NHL won't change their point system.
This is the first time this is close. I mean, look, if Philly would have won against the Patriots. Jeez. Without fucking my
time to go to bed.
Yeah, if Philly would have beat the Habs, they'd be in the wildcard spot right now at 87 points. It's crazy.
Detroit is gonna claw against us and battle against the Canadians in the final 2 games of the season.
I want to lose the last 2 games of the season.
Next Monday, Tuesday is going to be not a bloodbath, but it's going to be a fucking battle.
Yeah.
And that's
it. Y'all want that spot. Last topic of this episode, and then we'll close it up because, I'm very surprised to hear. So this has been an ongoing topic in the league for a couple of years now with the Coyotes.
Yeah.
You know, trying to survive in Phoenix. And they tried everything and everything possible. But now it's got to the point where it's time. It's time they're going to potentially move to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand, Bettman. Like, you have a fan base that will bring you a lot of money to this league. Sitting and waiting for a team to come, like the Quebec Nordiques, right? And I'm not trying to be biased here because I'm from Quebec or whatever. Yeah. And I always believe in, and again, maybe because I'm not in this position as Bettman, like he only thinks about money. I think about entertainment and having fun watching this sport. Bringing a team to Quebec is going to bring so much rivalry, and so much entertainment, and so much fun watching hockey again. Mm-hmm. Bringing a team to Salt Lake City, what the fuck? I would even bring them to Houston.
I think the owner, I don't know the name, but I think it's the same guy who owns the Utah Jazz. I think he, for lack of a better term, I didn't read too much into it yet, but I think he's able to convince Bettman to make it work. They have an arena. They actually have an arena where the Utah Jazz play basketball. They could play there. They don't have to worry about building a new arena, a new amphitheater, and all that. But then I also read this thing where the owner of, or the potential owner of the Arizona Coyotes and the whole entertainment system that they want to build, if they're still able to bid for the project they want to do and it passes.
No, apparently the Phoenix mayor said no, he doesn't want it.
That's well, it could be an update. What I remember reading yesterday was like, if some bill passes, then they have 5 years to bring a hockey team to Arizona as an expansion team, not as a relocation team, as a brand new team. So
you're saying that Arizona will go to Salt Lake and then the expansion team will come back to Arizona?
Yes.
How does that make any sense?
To us, it doesn't. The problem, look, at the end of the day, like, I think it's a mixture of a bunch of things. And from an outside perspective, someone just a regular fan of hockey and the NHL, I just think the Coyotes are a badly managed team with all the years of tanking basically and having high picks and all that. I just think they just don't have the right people managing the team and picking the right players and building a team properly. Maybe they do now with the recent picks that they had, like Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther and all. Do they have Dylan Gunther? Anyways, like, they're sort of starting to draft good players, and their marketing team fucking sucks. They don't have a good marketing team. There's they don't a have a good marketing system.
U.S. teams that don't have a good marketing. You know,
yeah, they don't. But a lot of them have the talent to kind of back it up. Like no matter what, Tampa Bay, Florida, even though they don't fill the arenas, they're good enough to make playoffs. They're gonna make that money kind of ish during the playoffs. Like they're fine. Like they're okay. Like the Dallas Stars, you know, like them two in the desert. They've had a good team for quite a few years. Them too, they're going to make the playoffs this year. Like, they're okay. So, I mean, Salt Lake City, it's closer. It's closer to like Colorado. They could have a bit of a rivalry with Seattle, maybe Colorado. You know what? We all thought Houston at one point that we thought that would be a good rivalry against the Dallas Stars. Anyways, look, there's got to be a reason why, like, and hopefully it's a good reason. I look at it as a rush because
you know, the season's coming to an end. The contract is coming to an end also for the arena for Arizona.
Yeah, exactly.
They need a team next year, and Bettman is not ready to lose money, right? So it's either You need to find a team for next year, a place for next year, or else you're losing a team, which is loss of money for Bettman, right? So let's find the nearest city that it's ready with an arena, Salt Lake, you know, which is stupid.
Yeah, but it is okay. In a sense, it's stupid, but if they can market it properly, if they have a fan base, and if I remember, maybe we didn't think Seattle would have a fan base. They kind of have one. Yeah, we didn't think it'd work out in Seattle. It's working out there so far. So it depends. It's a combination of so many things. But right now, I think it's like you need to have the right people to build a good build a good product on the ice, to give good products on the ice, and you need to have a good marketing team. You need to promote this fucking team. You need to do everything you can to sell fucking tickets. So
maybe one day we'll get a Quebec team, and you'll see how fast, how crazy that's gonna hype up.
Maybe we're so convinced that it's gonna work because it's Quebec and rivalry with the Canadians, but
maybe it won't.
Maybe it won't. Maybe it never will.
I think sponsorships
and all that other shit. Maybe.
Yeah, but you know what? To be honest with you, though, I think it would work because a lot of these Habs fans who are Quebecers and French, I think they would flip right away.
Oh, you think so?
100%.
Maybe.
And I think the Habs and Quebec rivalry is going to be insane and intense. Of
course it's insane. There's no question about it. It's all about, in terms of Bettman, his role is to make these owners money, and you got to follow the money. Follow the money. So
Follow the money. All right. This has come to an end. Great episode. To all our listeners out there, if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcast platform that you love to listen to. If you want to see our beautiful faces, you can subscribe on our YouTube channel. Please leave an honest rating. We'd like to hear your feedback. It's only going to make us better. And once again, this episode is sponsored by Quick Feet. That's Q-U-U-I-K-F-E-E-T. It's the bottom of the page of our YouTube channel. So come and subscribe. You can go to quickfeet.com, type in code CurfewBoys10 to get a 10% discount. You won't regret it. They have two great guys
awesome,
who run this.
Awesome product. Three guys that run this company. Awesome product. And we're very happy to be associated with them on this podcast. Absolutely.
And if you like what you see in here, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube.
Twitter. We're on Twitter as well.
Twitter. A lot of good content. A lot of good fun reels made by Sammy. So enjoy. Give us some reviews. And until next time, season's coming to an end. I can't believe it. But playoffs are along the corner.
That's not scary.
Yeah. Oh my God! Wait.
Yeah.
We were talking about playoffs and how tight it is, but then we didn't really talk about.
That's okay. It's okay. We're gonna get to it. We're gonna have another episode. The rest of the boys are coming. We're gonna get playoff prediction. Exactly. Don't worry about it.
Really lost the topic. That's okay. Yeah. More until next time. Bye now.
Good night.